Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started this last Monday talking about financial stewardship. And I am very excited about this. Again, let me just mention that I'm aware that there's a lot of people that do not like this, especially ministers teaching on this, because it's nearly always done from a standpoint of I'm teaching on this so that you will pay your tithes and give your money to me. You know, that is not my motivation for this. I don't have any way of proving that to some of you. I know that there will be cynics. There's a prejudice against teaching on finances, especially against ministers, and I don't know that I can prove it. But I'm just saying to anybody whose heart is open, and if you'll listen and receive the truth, I'm saying these things because of the benefit that this could make to you. I really believe that. You know, there's other things that are actually more exciting for me to teach on. There's other things that have changed my life so much that if it was just up to me, I could teach on some of these other things. But I feel directed to the Lord to teach on this because I'm aware of how many people struggle in this area. Statistically, the number one problem in marriage is finances. That's what more fights, more divorces happen over that than sexual misconduct, than any other thing. You know, personally, I've been through a lot of things. I have had people come out and persecute me. I've had my son die. I've had to deal with the grief and the sorrow of that. And praise God, the Lord raised him up. I have been through a lot of things. I've dealt with sickness and disease. I've had people around me die. My grandmother died when I was 6 years old. My father died when I was 12 years old. And I've been through a lot of things in my life. But you know what? If you were to ask me what are the hardest things that I have ever been through, without question, I'd say it's financial problems. Those have been the most depressing, debilitating. I mean, the most the hardest things I've ever dealt with. I met with Oral Roberts not long before he died, and there was a group of ministers that went to his home. And we were able to ask questions, and this was one of the questions that was asked him. And they said, what is the hardest thing you've ever been through? And I mean, Oral Roberts, he had people take a gun and shoot at him at point-blank range. He has been criticized, and I don't agree with everything Oral Roberts has done. I've criticized some of his decisions. But I'm saying he has had things come against him. I think he had a son. Well, I'm not going to say that because I'm not sure. But anyway, he's been through a lot of things. I know that his son, Richard Roberts, lost the university. And, you know, on and on and on you could go. He has had a lot happen in his life. And yet when they said, what is the hardest thing you've ever dealt with? I mean, without a second's hesitation, he said finances. And he talked about the financial pressures. And, man, I could relate 100%. The reason I'm saying this is just to say the reason I'm teaching on this is because it's a problem. And we're going through an economic period right now that people are calling a depression, a recession, and it has affected a lot of people. When the 2008 bust happened, there were some of these people who were financial moguls that were committing suicide, killing themselves. There's been terrible things happen. And, you know, this is just something that people are dealing with. And I think one of the reasons that the body of Christ has not made a greater impact on our societies that we live in is because the church has been relegated to talking about heaven and hell issues, which that's super important. It would be wonderful if everybody was thinking about their eternal destiny and making plans now, since this is the only time that you can make those plans. You can't choose after you die. There is no purgatory. So, yes, we should be occupied with those things, but I tell you, Jesus spent more time talking about finances than he did any other subject. I've not personally verified this, but I've heard other preachers go through and say that there's like 500 scriptures that deal with prayer, and maybe a little less that deal with faith, and those things are big, weighty, powerful issues. But then there's over 2,000 scriptures that deal with finances. Jesus was constantly teaching on the subject of finances because that's where people live. You know, most people spend an hour or 2 hours a week at church. Now, there are some of you that are absolutely fanatics, but if you spend 10 hours a week at church, you would be among a very select few. But you spend 40 hours or more working and making money. And I think that God just hates this kind of attitude where we have our lives departmentalized. And this is my Christian life over here. This is the time that I spend at church. And here's my time at church. And here's how much time I spend in prayer and devotions. But then the vast majority of my life is just totally secular. And it's up to me. And see, there's a lot of people that's the way that they live. They have a part of their life that they let God into. They seek His direction on certain things. But then when it comes to the thing that you are occupied with more than anything else, the vast majority of people lean under their own understanding. They do it their own way. They think it's up to me to put bread on the table. They don't see God as their source. They aren't following the instructions in the Word of God, which again, there's like 4 or 5 times as much instructions about finances as there is about prayer, as there is about any of these things. If the church was out here in the marketplace teaching what the Word of God says about finances, did you know that there wouldn't have ever been this housing bust that we've been through, the financial collapse? If people weren't mortgaged and in debt up to their eyeballs, if they were following the instructions of the Word of God, you would not be affected by all of these things that are happening in our world today. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the scripture there says that my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The source of God's financial blessing is from glory, His riches in glory in heaven. He is not affected by this world economy. He is not going up and down with recession, boom, and bust cycles. If we were plugged into the Word of God and following the instructions of the Word of God, you can prosper even when the world system is going down. And I know many of you are saying, well, that's easy to say, but it doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. Well, don't wake me up because that's how I'm living. Did you know since the 2008 bust and the recession has gone down, that there most people have experienced a decrease in their finances? And sad to say, even most ministries, most churches have struggled financially because they are completely dependent upon the people that attend those churches and support those ministries. But did you know what? The Lord just spoke to me that my God is going to supply my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so I decided not to participate in the recession. Since 2008, our income has doubled, probably more than doubled, in our ministry. And this is during a time of recession and bust. Did you know Jamie and I, we received an inheritance from Jamie's father when he died. We took that money and put it into we've got a guy that helps us, but we put it into the stock market and made some investments. And did you know that when the stock market went down 50%, lost 50% of its value, our stocks produced a 61% increase? And I know people are saying, you can't do that. I admit that it's not logical. It doesn't make sense that when the market's going down, our income is going up. But I'm saying that that's how it works because there are instructions in the Word of God that tell us how to manage our money. And you do not have to be limited to this world system. And if we would extract ourselves from just this world system, I mean, you're still in it and you're still using the currency of whatever country you're in. But if you were following godly principles, I am a living testimony. My ministry is a living testimony, and I can show you plenty of other people who are living testimonies that you can prosper when the world is failing. Because God is basing our blessing and our finances not on what's happening in the world, but upon Him. If your faith is in God, you can prosper while everybody else is struggling. Man, that's powerful. And I know that I've got people all over the world who are watching this, and you are resistant to what I'm saying because this is not the norm. You're even hearing Christians talk about this. You know, when this bust happened in 2008, the end of 2008, we're in Colorado Springs. There are well over 100 parachurch ministries. We are aware of many of those parachurch ministries, know people in these ministries, and I have personal information that many of them, before there was a decrease in their giving, before there was any downturn, just fear of looking at what was going to happen, many ministries decreased their budgets for the next year by 15 to 20, 25%. They started expecting a decrease in their income. And guess what? They got it. You believe for it, you can get it. But like I said, that's when the Lord told me that we were supposed to expand. Our Bible college was just expanding and we didn't have the room. And so I began a process, and we are in the process of building a $47 million, first class Bible college campus that's going to accommodate thousands and thousands of people coming and being trained and going out and changing the world. And so here we are expanding and doing these huge steps, the biggest things that I've ever done in my life and in my ministry during the worst time financially. And I've got people on my board. I have the person that buys our media time that called me a few months back. And he says, I don't know exactly what's happening, but he has been buying in excess of $50 or $60 million worth of media time for some of the leading ministers in the world. And he says, you're just counter to everybody else. You are prospering. It's succeeding. He says that there's possibly only one other time that he's ever seen anything like this. And he was just confirming everything that we're seeing, everything that all of my minister friends tell me. I tell you, we are blessed. And you know why? It is not accidental. It is not just a fluke. It's because we have been standing on the Word of God. I've been operating in these principles, and the reason I'm saying these things is not to give myself a pat on the back, but to tell you that it'll work for you. And the very first thing that I believe that is essential for you seeing this prosperity is to get this concept that I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about, that you are a steward of God's resources. It's not just the tithe. It's not just an offering that belongs to God. Everything you have, everything you are, is literally God's. You wouldn't have the opportunities. You wouldn't have the talent to be able to take advantage of the opportunities if it wasn't for all of God's blessing on your life. And I believe that the way that we ought to start looking at finances, the very first step is we need to see ourselves as a steward of God's blessings and not look at this money as just being our own. You know, I heard a man say this one time in a offering. He was receiving an offering, and I remember him having everybody stand up, and he says, now I want you to reach into the back pocket of the person in front of you or into the purse of the person in front of you and grab their wallet, and he says, I want you to give the way you always wanted to give. And the point that he was trying to make, it was a joke, but the point he was trying to make is that if we didn't see this as our money, and that we are being decreased when we give, if it wasn't us, and if it didn't affect us, if it was somebody else's money, we would probably be a lot more generous in our giving. For instance, just think, if you were here with me right now, and if I was to give you my wallet and say, you know, just do whatever you want to with it, give, bless somebody, you probably would be very generous with my money, probably more generous than you are yours. And so that's a beginning place. You need to recognize that your finances are actually God's blessing manifesting itself in your life. You know, I'm going to say some things very quickly. I'm not going to go through this in depth, but let me just point this out from a few people. We find in Genesis chapter 12 where God spoke to Abraham, and he had told him to leave his country, to leave his father's house, and to come out and go into a land that he would show him later. He didn't even tell him originally what land it was. He said, just leave and then I'll give you direction later on. You've got to remember in the society that they lived in, it was an agricultural society. It was all about property. It was all about land. They had animals and they had to graze it. And by him leaving his family and his father's house, he was leaving all of his goods, all of his wealth. He was leaving the family inheritance, all of the money that had been accumulated for generations. And it says here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." There's a lot in those verses. I'm not going to take time to comment on it all, but that's a prophecy about the Messiah being for the Gentiles, that all families of the earth will be blessed. So he blessed him with finances, with prosperity. And remember, he had given up all of this when he left his father's house. He left his inheritance. He left all of those natural things. And he came out and he began to start prospering God's way. It was because of God's blessing. In this very chapter, he went down into Egypt and he came out with, so much abundance. He was given slaves. He was given cattle and sheep and all of these things. It was kind of bad the way that he got it, but nonetheless, it was God's blessing beginning to manifest itself in his life. Then in the 13th chapter, Abraham shows you that it was really his faith in God's blessing that was prospering him, not his own effort. Because he had prospered so much that he and his nephew Lot were together and the land couldn't accommodate them. They had so many sheep, so many cattle, that the servants were fighting over all of the best grass and over all of this. And so Abram told Lot, he says, "We're brothers." He says, "The whole land's before us. You just pick. And whichever way you go, I'll go the opposite direction." And I could spend a lot of time on this, but if you've ever been to Israel, you know that down around the Jordan Valley, it's an arid climate down there, and along the Jordan and around the Dead Sea before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, the Scripture says it was like the Garden of Eden. Grass was up, to the horse's belly. It was just beautiful. It was lush. People that had animals to feed, what would you choose? The desert over here or the lush, well-watered area down or along the Jordan? Well, for Abram to even make this offer shows that he was trusting God. He wasn't having to stab his nephew in the back, take advantage of him because he was the older and he was the one that was in the position of authority. Instead, he opened up his hand and he says, "God's going to bless me regardless of what you do." So Lot chose the well-watered land. Abram went up here to the desert. And yet, after Lot separated from him, because he put his faith in God and he didn't just do things in the natural realm and push and shove and try and take advantage of other people, God came to him after Lot separated and says, "I'm going to bless you so much that it'll be like the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. That's how numerous your children will be." And then in the 14th chapter, Lot and five cities down there in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were conquered by the kings of four cities from a foreign place. They came and took them. And it says that Abram took his own servants trained in his house and raised and went after them and overcame these four kings and recovered everything. And there was 380 slaves that he had. You know that those were just the fighting men. There were probably old men. There were young men who weren't able to fight. There were women. There were children. So he probably had well in excess of 1,000 slaves, maybe 1,500. He had cattle. He was numerous. All of this came after he began to obey God and do what God told him, left the family inheritance, and he began to prosper. And then when he won this battle, the king of Sodom and Gomorrah came to Abram and says, "Without you, we would have lost everything. If you will just give me back the people and let me have our people back, we will give you all of the spoil." all of the spoil that they had, their jewels, their gold, their silver, that was taken from them. But when Abraham conquered the other kings, he not only got back all of the spoil of Sodom and Gomorrah, but all of the spoil of those nations who came against them. You know, I don't have any way of knowing how much this was, but I'm sure it was millions and millions and millions of dollars. And Abram said, I'm not going to take even down to a shoe latchet. I won't take a shoestring from anybody lest they say they made Abram rich. Abram recognized God was his source. God had given him. Abram left everything, all of the family inheritance, and he came out. And by this time, he already had increased where he had thousands of servants. And he recognized God as his source. And when he rightfully could have claimed the millions and millions of dollars of spoil, he says he turned it all down, saying nobody is ever going to say that they made Abram rich. And sure enough, he just continued to prosper so much so that he actually had the king of Gerar come to him and say, depart, you are mightier than us. Our entire nation cannot accommodate your personal wealth and our national wealth. In other words, Abram was actually bigger in wealth and his income than the entire nation of Gerar was. Boy, that's powerful. And you know what? It wasn't limited to Abraham, but his son Isaac in the 26th chapter of the book of Genesis, he went down in a year of famine while everybody else was running to Egypt that had the Nile and irrigation, and they were going down there and they were losing their lands and losing their inheritance and they were just thinking survival. The Lord spoke to Isaac in a year of famine and told him to stay in the land, not to go to Egypt, and to sow seed. And he sowed seed in a year of famine when other people wouldn't even think about doing that. And he received a hundredfold return. And a hundredfold return is good in any time, but especially in a year of famine, and especially when nobody else even planted their crops because they weren't expecting there to be any harvest. Did you know he had a corner on the market? He had increased prices. And Isaac became so great that in the 26th chapter, Abimelech came out and said, depart from us. You are mightier than our entire nation. So this not only happened to his father Abram, it happened unto Isaac. It goes on down to Jacob. Jacob, because of his own self-will and stuff, had to flee for his life, and he crossed this brook and met God. God appeared in a vision unto him and told him that he would bless him. And in 20-something years, he had passed over with nothing but the clothes on his back and a staff in his hand. And when he came back, he had 4 wives, he had 12 children, he had cattle and sheep and such an abundance that it was just overflowing. And it began to happen. When you see yourself, when you are in covenant with God and you recognize that God is your source and you start trusting Him, seeing yourself as a steward is when the real blessings of God begin to come to pass. But when you see yourself as, this is mine, I earned it, and God, I'll give you a tiny bit in thanksgiving, I guarantee you that is a recipe for disaster. And brothers and sisters, the vast majority of people do not see God as their source. Good evening, and welcome to a very special broadcast from right here in our studio in Colorado Springs.
On January 26, 2012, in a live event streamed on the ministry website, Andrew announced his decision to build the CBC campus in 2 stages rather than building it all at once. This is so the 1,000-member student body expected for the 2013 school year will have a building big enough to serve them. The Barn Auditorium, with its cafeteria and classrooms, will be the perfect solution to this stage of growth. We invite you to go to our website and get the whole story. Click the special message seen below the picture of Andrew and Jamie and watch Part 1 and Part 2 of Andrew's live update. Part 1 includes the virtual tour of the Barn Classroom Complex. Part 2 delivers a sneak preview of the main auditorium, scheduled to be built after the completion of the barn. But here's the best part. You've already funded 40% of the $20 million needed for the barn expansion. Because of the faithfulness of our friends and partners, We are world changers. Already, our students have made an impact on the nations. Russia, Uganda, Latin America, Europe, Asia, India, and right here at home. But our current campus is already overloaded. We'll be forced to use neighboring facilities to house the school until the barn, auditorium, and classrooms are complete. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong, and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Why not join hands with Andrew and JB and help us complete this much-needed construction as soon as possible? Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Caris Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Write, call, or go to our website to become a foundation builder today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is www.awmi.net, and our mailing address is on your screen. And don't forget to watch Andrew's special message on the main page of our website.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114. But today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order.
I have learned that nothing is mine, so everything is God.
What God has given me is not meant for just me, but it's meant for people around me.
I didn't realize that everything belonged to God and that everything I had was a gift, and I was a steward, a watcher over what I had.
The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is a Steward? Free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.